Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Why don't you just go ahead and praise Him like this is the last chance you're ever going to have to praise Him. So that's the last praise you're ever going to have. That's the best you can do. Come on, praise Him like it's the last chance you're ever going to have to praise Him. He has no rivals. He has no equals. He has a name that is above every other name. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. If Brother Beaver were here today, he'd say we've had a lot of people make decisions today. They decided not to come to church. But I'm glad you decided to come to church, and I'm going to preach to the ones that are here and to the ones that will be watching via technology. I just can't get away from Matthew 23 and 37. It's an incredible, incredible verse. I've read it so many times and just never saw what I have recently seen. I believe when Jesus speaks, we should pay attention. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. I just want to encourage you, if you look around, you get a little discouraged this morning because of the crowd, don't you worry. God's people are praying, and the enemy is fighting, but the devil loses. And anytime God's people are praying, God's going to move. And it's going to be amazing, and I'm excited. God has already been touching some people and helping people, and it's very exciting news. And I want to talk to you this morning about running to Jesus. Running to Jesus. He's the one we need to run to. The title is still, It's Time to Know You're Saved. I mean, we got to know who we are in Him. We've got to get our identity in Him. If we keep our eyes on ourselves, I've said this so many times, you're going to get discouraged. If you look at you, you're going to be discouraged. Stop looking at you. The Bible does not tell you to look at yourself except to examine yourself to see whether or not you're in faith. To examine yourself to see if you've got issues in your life Jesus needs to get rid of. That's the only time you need to be looking at yourself. Other than that, keep your eyes on Jesus. If you want your faith to increase, keep your eyes on Jesus. If you want to overcome struggles, keep your eyes on Jesus. If you want to get out of the mess you're in, keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Matthew 23 and 37 says this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, Jesus speaking, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And this is so important. Jesus didn't say that drugs kept people away from him. That's not what he said. He didn't say alcohol kept people away from him. That's not what Jesus said. He didn't say sexual perversion, hatred, murder, lust, stealing, lying, or other sinful behavior. He didn't say sadness kept people away from him. He didn't say bitterness kept people away from him. He didn't say any of the plethora of conditions in the human condition. He didn't say any of that is what kept people away from him. Jesus said what kept people away from him is they wouldn't come. They wouldn't come. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. I could shut up right now and you've heard enough. Come to Jesus. Forget about whatever it is that's on your head, in your mind, in your heart, that's in your life, that's an issue, that's a struggle, that's sin, whatever it is, just run to Jesus. Run to him. Quit running away from him. Quit acting like he doesn't want you to come. Stop acting like he's angry at you. He's not angry at you. He's done everything he could possibly do to save you. Run to him. If you're old and you're tired, run to Jesus. If you're young and you're out of control, run to Jesus. If you're middle-aged and you're in the midst of a crisis, run to Jesus. Maybe you're young and you're tired. Run to Jesus. Run to him. Run to him. Run to him. Stop running away from him. How oft, he said, I would have gathered thee. How often I would have gathered thy children as a hen does gather her chicks. How often I would have done it, but you would not. Can you imagine the heartbrokenness of Jesus? Knowing what he knows. See, we're still walking by faith. We're walking by faith that everybody here is going to get everything that comes with salvation. I mean, all the miracles, all the healing, all the deliverance, all the salvation, all the people that we're praying for, all the people that we're believing for, we're believing, we're believing, we're trusting, we're praying, we're fasting, we're doing everything we can within us, but we're still walking by faith. Jesus knows. He knows the transformation that will take place in our lives if we'll just get under him. He knows the miraculous that will take place for us if we'll just run to him. Can you imagine how broken his heart must be when he watches us run to everything and anything besides Him. We run to each other and we run to computers and we run to cell phones and we run to this and we run to that. We run here and we run there. And the one person we need to be running to, anytime we run to the other stuff, we're running away from Him. He's the one and only. He's not the one of many. He's all there is. He's not some of the part. If you want transformation, just run to Jesus. See, people choose not to come to Jesus. There's nothing in your life that can keep you from Jesus except your choice. I don't care how big the struggle is. I don't care how deep the bondage is. Mary Magdalene was a woman possessed by seven devils, and Jesus was more than enough. The man on the Gadarenes was so possessed by the powers of darkness that when Jesus asked the name of the demons, they said, "Our name is Legion because we are many." And with His word, those things had to leave and they had to go because they couldn't stay when somebody ran to Jesus. John writes this: "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth trust, or he that doeth truth, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." John said a whole mouthful right there. But the gist of the message is that God has done everything He needs to do so that the world can be saved. Are you in this world? Is there anyone in here that's not in this world? Is there anyone in here that's dead? Is there anyone in here that's in heaven or that's in hell? If you're in the world, not of the world, we're not of it, but we're in it. Sometimes I wish I wasn't. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It used to just be miserable about every 4 years when we had elections. Now it just stays that way. You can't even watch television. Maybe we shouldn't watch television. Maybe them old preachers back in the 50s were right. Maybe it is the eye of the devil. It might be more so now than we even realize. If y'all got a camera on your television, you ought to put a piece of black electric tape over it. Why would I say that? Because the director of the FBI said that. He said they can watch you through it. Isn't it a great day in which we live? Come, Lord Jesus! I can only get to you by faith, but you can get to me way better. See, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. That's why he came. And anybody that wants to can run to the light. Now you can love your deeds. I already talked about it once this morning. Everything else we run to is taking us away from Jesus. He is not one of many. He's the one and only. He is not the sum of parts. He is the sum of all parts. Hallelujah. If you'll just run to him, you're going to have some stuff. People think you have to get cleaned up before you run to Jesus. That's insanity. Because you can't get cleaned up enough. You can be the most perfect person that's ever lived on the planet outside of Jesus Christ, and you are not good enough. You still have to come to him just like you are. Just as I am, without one plea. The problem is we come and get our conscience cleansed, our conscience cleared, and then we just go right back out and corrupt it again. And what God is looking for in us is for us to come and get that conscience cleansed and then to go back out and not violate it. Whatever it is that he's trying to deal with us about, just do what he says. Isn't that what Mary said? Is the wedding in Cana of Galilee, you remember the story? Jesus said, "Woman, what are you doing? It's not time yet." She just said, "Whatever he says to do, just do it." I'm telling you, those are good words for all of us. Whatever he says to do, just do it. Run to Jesus just like you are. Don't back up. Don't hesitate. Don't let shame, sickness, sadness, bitterness, or envy keep you from him. You run to Jesus with everything in you, and then when you get there, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Just do it. Nike didn't come up with that. Jesus came up with that. He's way ahead of Nike. They can't even leap a tall building in a single bound. Jesus can renovate the earth and the heavens with fire. He's going to sit back and say, "Now do that." Probably not. There is no condemnation to them that come to him. There is no condemnation to them that come to him. He'll clean you up. He'll change your life. He'll transform you. You say, "Well, I've come to Jesus and I'm still not clean." The bath takes a long time sometimes. I'm convinced a lot of people do it better than others. I'm convinced of that. I'm one of them that doesn't do it that good. It's taken a long time for me to get to where I am. But when the day that Jesus saved me, he knew where I was going to be on this day. And he saved me anyway. There's no doubt that Jesus Christ saved me. None at all. I know I'm saved. I know Jesus came into my heart. Do I have struggles? Just like you do. We all have struggles. So we don't worry about that. We just keep going after Jesus and keep running after Jesus. He didn't say you just run after him one time. He said, how often? How often? How often? That's not just speaking to the number of times that he would have done it through the generations, but how many times has Jesus decided, has Jesus determined he wants to pull you under his protection all in your life? To how many times has he called you back to that safety and that security, that place where shame is washed away, that place where weariness vanishes, that place where the kindness and the goodness of God fills your heart, and you once again experience that peace? Because there's all kinds of things that try to take it from us. There's all kinds of things that try to take our joy. And if you have never experienced that, if you've never had interruptions in your joy, I commend you. But there has been times in my life where joy unspeakable and full of glory was not my testimony for a few days. But when I run back to Jesus and I find that safety and that security that can only be found in his arms, and I find that peace that passes all understanding, and I find that healing that only he can give, I experience the nearness of his presence. And I know I'm his. In spite of me. He's never had perfect people to work with. He knew that all along. So get over yourself and run to Jesus. See, he said all we've got to do is believe. This is repentance. This truly is repentance. It's that transformation that takes place in our mind where we stop thinking that we've got to get everything right before we come to him. Where we stop thinking that at some point we're going to be good enough for God. That point where we abandon ourselves for him. We lose all hope in anyone except him. We place all of our trust in him. It is Christ and Christ alone that makes me right with God. It is nothing that I can do. I will never be good enough. I will never do what he wants me to do at that level. I've got to have Jesus. I can't make it without Jesus. That is true repentance. That is where the things begin falling off. That is where the transformation takes place. That is where your appetite for the things of this world just begins to diminish and diminish and diminish. And your appetite for God grows stronger and stronger and stronger. The things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You've got to stop worrying about it. See, that's what he said right here. He said, because their deeds were evil, because they're afraid that their deeds would be reproved. They're afraid they're going to get exposed. They're afraid that Jesus is going to tell everyone what's wrong with them. And he may. I mean, you just got to understand, he might. He's liable to tell the whole world everything that's wrong with you. But it will be for his glory. And it will not be for your shame. You'll no longer be ashamed of it because it'll be your testimony. He may never tell a soul. There's a reality that people come to Christ and God never tells anyone what they did. That's a reality. And when God does tell people what you did, it's probably going to come out of your mouth. Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. Hallelujah. So quit worrying about it. Quit being afraid that you're going to be ashamed. See, you're already ashamed. Aren't you tired of it? Why don't you run to Jesus and let him take your shame? You'll no longer be ashamed. You'll have peace. You'll no longer have remorse and regret. You'll have joy. You'll no longer have the weight of sin in your life. You'll have righteousness. Because that's what happens when we come to Jesus. He takes our sin and makes it right. He doesn't make what you're doing right so you can keep doing it. He takes it away so you no longer do it. He doesn't just dress your shame up so people can't see it. He removes it from your life so it's no longer there. I just came here today to encourage somebody. I don't know if you're watching via television. I don't know if you're watching via technology. I don't know if you're in this room right here. I don't have any idea. But I believe with all of my heart the Lord sent me to somebody this morning to encourage you to run to Jesus. I don't know what you're going through as we stand to our feet, as we bow our heads, and we get alone with the Lord right there where we're at. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're in the middle of. God didn't tell me if you're worried. Oh my God, did you tell him what I've done? He has not told me what you've done, so you're in good shape. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and said, who told you? Who told me what? Who told you what I did? Nobody. What did you do? Well, you were preaching all about it. I said, well, I don't know nothing about it. I don't even know what for sure I preached. I don't remember. So I wasn't talking to me. And it wasn't me talking. It was the Holy Spirit. And He was speaking to you. So as you bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm not here for a raising of the hand. I just want you to isolate yourself with the Lord right now. I don't want you looking at me. I don't want you looking around. I want you just to get in your closet right now, right there where you're at. And I just want you to think, what is it that you're carrying around? Is it shame? Is it regret? Is it remorse? Is it rejection? Is it depression? Is it bitterness? Is it anxiety? Is it brokenness? Is it sickness? Is it sin? Is it unbelief? Is it lust? Is it perversion? Is it lying? Is it stealing? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Right there, just where you're at, you and Jesus. I want you to renew in your heart. I believe the Lord wants each of us to renew in our heart our passion and our zeal for the Lord. Right there, run to Him. Run to Him in your mind. If you're comfortable at the altar and you want to come and just spend time with the Lord, these altars are open. And you're welcome to come and just run to Jesus. I love the altars. Maybe you're frustrated. Run to Jesus. You could be mad at God. You could be wondering why He hasn't done what you've asked Him to do. Run to Him. Just run to Him. You might be wondering, why am I going through all of this? Just run to Him. You might be sad. You might be grieving. Run to Him. You might be overwhelmed. You might have a boss at work that is just a tyrant. Run to Him. Maybe you have a coworker that's selling you out, stabbing you in the back, making you look bad in front of everyone. Run to Jesus. Run to Him. Come on, right there where you're at, run to Him. Run to Him. He's renewing some hearts today. I heard my wife praying for hearts in this place earlier, and I didn't show her what I was going to talk about. She talked about hearts that were hurting. Maybe you're carrying some pain. Just run to Jesus. Run to Him. Run to Him. Father, I thank You so much. I thank You, Lord. I believe this is what You'd have me to say today. And I pray for every person in this place. I pray for those that are watching via technology. I pray for those that are listening. I lift them, everyone, to You, God. Lord, You know I can't fix them. You know I can't even help them. But Lord, You can do all things. And so, Lord, as people are casting their cares upon You because You care for them, as those that are weary and are heavy laden are coming to You looking for Your rest, I thank You, God, that You have what they need. I thank You, Lord. I thank You for miracles. I thank You for miracles. I thank You for healed hearts, God. I thank You for healed bodies. God, I pray especially for that one that's in here today. The enemy has just been fighting them fiercely in their mind. And he's just been bashing them and bashing them, as like stoning them almost with thoughts of inferiority and thoughts of uselessness, and that God has given up on them and that God has no place for them. And they're beyond repair and they're beyond hope. I pray especially for that one right now, God, that You'd just give them that renewed mind. You said that You could renew our mind through the Word of God. And I thank You, Lord, that You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I thank You, Lord, that we are not to be afraid or intimidated of our enemies, but we're to cast down every imagination and every thought that is contrary to the knowledge of Christ. And Lord, the knowledge of Christ is this: all that will come to Him. I thank You, Lord, that the prodigal son didn't go out shopping for a new set of clothes before he went home, but he came home in the rags of his poverty. And his father did exactly Your will, God. That's just the way You are. We come in the rags of our distress, and You put a robe on our back, shoes on our feet, a ring on our hands, giving us Your name. Thank You, Lord. I pray for that broken heart in here today, God. Mend that broken heart. That one that is so sad. Lord, I just come against that sadness in Jesus' name. There's a time for us to be sorrowful. There's no doubt about that. When we lose somebody, and we don't lose them, but when they go to heaven and we're still here, there's a real sadness. When people are suffering and sick, our hearts ache. But I pray for that one that's just overwhelmed with sorrow and sadness, Lord. Heal their heart in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. You're giving a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness in this place today, God. I thank You, Lord. And I pray for that one, God, that came in here today. They've got decisions to make and they're not sure what to do. I thank You, Lord, that You're going to give them wisdom. They're going to walk out of here today with some direction. I give You praise for that, Lord. And that direction is run to Jesus. Because You possess the wisdom of the universe. You possess the wisdom of the ages. You possess the wisdom that causes this planet to continue in perpetuity until that day that you renew it. I thank you, Lord. Year after year, the little birds hatch. Year after year, new animals are born. Year after year, the creeks run. The grass grows. The plants produce their fruit. Seed time and harvest, year after year, God. Who could have done that except you? And I thank you, Lord, that that wisdom is imparted to that one looking for direction. I honor you, Jesus. I honor you, Jesus. Thank you once again for miracles, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you need special prayer, you're welcome to come and we will pray for you. We have a great team of prayer warriors, people that spend large amounts of time in prayer. And it's powerful when God's people pray. If you need prayer, come. These folks will pray over you. You'll see God move. Praise God. Everybody good? Hallelujah. I want that one that needed wisdom. I want you to go out here in peace. Go out of here in peace. I actually know who you are, but just go out of here in peace. God's going to give you wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Everybody good? Love you guys. God bless you, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.